Happy Monday. George Watkins here again on the first day of the week with the first word of the morning. I love the early bird gets the worm, right? Well, thank you for coming by again and for all the good encouragement you send my way. I really appreciate it. I love your comments, your notes, your sharing, the kind things you report back to me when I see you in person, many of you. So thank you for that. We press on and we continue to be faithful to what God's called us to do, right? Each of us are powerful to do what God's called us or put in our DNA, our desire, and down in the in the core of our being, we have hunger. We call it hunger, desire, passion, calling, different forms of the same idea. I'm just got to do this. I want to be a fireman, a policeman, a preacher. I want to, you know, I want to travel and climb Mount Kilimanjaro. I do something. That's that passion every one of us has. And every one of us have, we're powerful. We're powerful to believe and think differently than someone else. That doesn't mean we have, you know, diverse thoughts, but they blend together and describe the kingdom of God. Paul said, when you come together, and then he begins to list the different types of manifestations and revelations and prophecies and songs and teachings. He said, let it all be done decently and in order. In other words, not in the modern idea of decently in an order. Everybody's peaceful. It's not noisy. So no, it means to blend together in the ways that God would have it until it gives the whole picture. Come together in the public service, you're going to have things out of order. There's going to be wild, crazy stuff. If you've never been to a hot spot in the gospel, I've been to a number of them over the years. I remember early on when I was exposed to the tent revivals. I was in William Branham's meetings. I was in Oral Roberts' meetings. And there were a number of other meetings, Jack Coe and so forth. Now, you don't have human ideas of order when the Holy Spirit shows up, when powerful things happen, when deliverance happens. I went to Toronto when it was cooking in the 80s, 90s, pardon me. And nothing decently, nothing in order. Now, they had wonderful services. It wasn't pandemonium, but it wasn't the order of the orthodoxy idea of church. So you have the power, the ability, and the call to be an independent thinker in the sense of revelation. You see God different than anybody else. He has revealed himself to you in a different manner. Remember the shock we had when The Shack was written, the book that became very, very popular, made a movie out of it. And we found out in that rendition of that man's ideas and revelation that God was a black woman. Well, pretty far out for our, you know, traditional thinking. But he was conveying a message that he had in his spirit, in his heart. So today we're talking about heaven. I'm not an expert, neither are you, but we're learning as we have revelation. Scriptures don't give a lot of detail, but they do give trigger points. They do give entry points, and there's shadowy things that you can see through by the Holy Spirit's help. So heaven, then, is, number one, a place where God abides. And we talk about heaven. We're going to die and go to heaven. Someday we'll be in heaven. And when we get to heaven, it's all going to be peaceful. And so we have this fairy tale idea of a mansion over the hilltop. We've heard the country western singers sing it. Our Christian poets and music writers have made songs about it. Very, very popular one when I was a kid. Mansion, there's just a mansion over the hilltop. I could sing it for you if I took a minute, but we won't persecute you. So we've got this idea of mansions over the hilltop in that far off land called heaven beyond the stars. And so when we die, we're all going to be healed and we're all going to be peaceful. And so for the next eternity, we roam around on streets of gold and, just enjoy the idyllic life of retirement. I used to kind of cock my eye and one of our people would retire and tell me, "Pastor, I'm busy. I'm more busy than," and I said, "Oh, come on, give me a break. Don't tell me that." Well, I'm in somewhat of that mode. I'm not retired from ministry preaching, but certainly from punching a clock and being in the office at a certain time. And I'm telling you, I told Arliss the other day, I'm going to get me an office where I can go back to it. At least I could get a break of just life goes on. Heaven is not a retirement club. We don't go to heaven. We're not entering into the presence of the Lord to sit around, count the days, the years, and the eons that go on. Take a snapshot of some of the things that people are saying and seeing and believing and teaching. Go have the nerve to get out of your little cocoon that you've been trained in and begin to listen to some people that are way out there. Test your ability to handle some heresy. Well, I'm saying that in a tongue-in-cheek because it sounds like heresy, but could it be God opening up an understanding of what it really means about heaven and where God lives? We can go back and resurrect. I should say we have gone back and brought up and reprinted and reread some books out of the mystics. Jean Guyon was a mystic woman in the Catholic Church. My sisters used to read her, and it just went over my head. You know, I'm plowing corn, planting seed, breaking clods and rocks, and preaching and chasing devils. Well, one day along the way, something shifted. God began to open things to me to where now I can read and absorb and love the revelation that Jean Guyon gave us through her experiences as a mystic. Wow, there's things that have happened in the Middle Ages that were far beyond the pale of what we know in our churches and in our theological understanding and what the preachers have taught us about the spiritual world and about heaven and about eternity. For instance, I had a friend of mine that I used to pastor with years ago in California. He was in his private jet going to a series of meetings, him and his pilot. And he crashed and they stepped over into glory together. I heard that. I was preaching, doing a men's retreat with another brother, heavy hitter guy. And I was a little down, you know, wow. He was my age or a little younger. And he said, "Oh, well, give it 2 weeks. He'll be trained and they'll send him out around the earth to testify." There was a time I couldn't grasp or understand that. But over the last 30 years, God began to drop seeds in my life. I had a friend that I ministered with in the southern hemisphere a little bit. He was a missionary. He took me aside about 35 years ago, perhaps. We had coffee together, and he said, "George, I'm going to tell you something that I haven't told only two people." And he began to tell me some things that had happened in a 1960-ish revival in Guatemala that was way beyond my imagination. Supernatural events, supernatural manifestations, angelic ministry, and so forth. Well, I stored it. It's like Mary, you know. I just put it back in the back burner and meditated. I pondered on it, as the Bible says. She pondered these things in her heart. That means she didn't kick them out and spit on them. She said, "Oh boy, that's a big one. I'm just going to take that, let it marinate, let it sizzle for a while." So I did, and it came up in my spirit periodically until it began to gain traction in the fact that I started seeing, hearing, having revelations until the Lord began to take me personally into some experiences that no one taught me, that I didn't know anybody doing what I had. I began to experience with angels, with spirit experiences, going into the spirit, having visions, having dreams, and so forth. And that began to expand my comprehension of heaven. So there's a number of voices that are talking. Now I say voices, I'm talking about different individual people, solid, strong, with a lengthy experience of interacting with the Holy Spirit, talking about stepping into heaven and hearing the voice of the Lord. This man that talked that I referred to a minute ago, pastor, a preacher, ministry. When he said that, oh, he'll be out testifying in a couple of weeks, you know, I reflected back on Zechariah. Now Zechariah, the first chapter says that he went into the spirit. He stepped. He had a spiritual experience that he went into a vision in the night. And in that vision, he saw horses in the meadow. And on those horses were men. And he said, "Where you been?" He said, "We've been around the world checking it out, and everything's peaceful." Now that sounds a little bit like that fella going around the earth testifying. All right, well, this is stretching time. This is time for you and I to enlarge our capacity to understand God, understand heaven. Heaven, what's it going to be like in heaven? Well, I'm convinced that we've got worlds to conquer. But take a little tip, a little indication from John 3:16. That word in John 3:16 that says world is really the word cosmos. It means the entire creation. The last count I heard in some huge number on the scientific side was there were, what, several trillion galaxies out there they're starting to discover. Now we have one galaxy called the Milky Way. That's what we live in. But what has God done out there with his creation? All right, well, we're stretching ourselves today. I wanted to encourage you that heaven is not just some of the Mickey Mouse stories you've heard and Hollywood's rendition, and even some of the weak teaching and limited view that you might have heard across the pulpits. But it's expanding. The understanding of God's heaven is expanding and being revealed, and you have been invited in, and you don't have to wait to die to get there. Enoch didn't, crying out loud. The Bible says he stepped over it so many times, and finally he stayed. Well, could that happen to us? Yes, and it's happened all through the centuries. It's just been muted down and hidden. There have been men and women all through the centuries that have had mystical. Now, the word mystical means mysteries. You and I are mystics, whether you like it or not, because we live in a mystery, the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the Godhead, the mystery of all those mysteries that are out there. We're having revelation. It's a glorious Monday to have a revelation, folks. Early in the morning, we're having God's revelation of heaven. It's not a retirement club. You're not going to sit around plunking a ukulele or a guitar. And I'm going to hang out your mansion, which you don't have one there. That's a phony thing. Jesus wasn't going to go build you a house. He built you a dwelling place. That dwelling place was his capacity. The dwelling place he built by coming through the cross, the resurrection, the ascension, taking his blood to the Father, and coming back on the Holy Spirit, he made a dwelling place in you and I, and the Father came to dwell in that dwelling place with the Holy Spirit. We have the fullness of the Godhead bodily in us. That's your mansion. You are. Okay, well, enough of that. Monday is a good time just to rejoice in the Lord. Okay, I bless you. I thank you for stopping by. Time's up. The bell rung. It's time to go to work. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for all the good thumbs ups and, you know, the comments and all those good things. Thank you. Let me know how these broadcasts are affecting or blessing you. I like good comments, by the way. And if God's nudging you to send us a gift, PayPal or snail mail, we'll get it to us and we'll rejoice and bless you back. Thank you for that. Until tomorrow, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the sunshine of his love always warm your face as you travel through this life. God bless.